Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It's great to have you with us today. Terry Bowden and Jack Hamm on the show today. Jack Hamm at 4:06, Terry Bowden in the final half hour. We also have Neil Coulong on today to talk about the Steelers. John McClain, Houston Chronicle, coming up on Thursday to talk about what's happening down there and also to talk with a Hall of Fame voter for the Pro Football Hall of Fame who's been a staple for people in Houston to read for decades. So that's all coming up. It's great to have you with us. It was so great to be with you yesterday, Sean, and everybody else. We had a fantastic time last night down at Front Street Station.
Certainly did. Great to see everybody that had a chance to join us. Terrific questions from the gallery last night. And of course, the perfect ambiance when you're at Front Street Station. They don't call it a railroad eatery for nothing.
We did have to fight the train a few times. Although what bothered me was what it appeared that they were just going back and forth. I don't know about you. I like my trains to make progress.
Right.
So that was last night. Yeah. We had just a great time. Great crowd there last night. Just really good people.
Yeah, we considered that the trains. We considered them going back and forth. The comic relief, the icebreakers portion of the presentation.
It was indeed. We talked a lot of football last night, and we're going to talk a lot more football coming up today. This is finally to the week. They did release the depth chart today. Fine. If you're someone who overthinks everything, read it and overthink it. I haven't really looked at it, but, I'm sure it's pretty close to what it really is. So, for the most part, there's a lot of either ors on there. Probably. Did you look at it? I didn't.
I did not look at it. But yeah, we talked about it briefly at our little gathering last night. There was one question that I brought up to you, and we were talking about when we were going on offense. With Chris Godwin now in Tampa Bay, I asked you which wide receiver could be a great complement alongside Deshaun Hamilton. I just threw out the choice, either Juwan Johnson or Saeed Blacknell. I know Jack will be talking a little bit about Juwan next hour.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. But, you're essentially going to play when it's all said and done. I think six guys are all going to play out there. I think six guys are going to play. And that's perfectly fine by me because you have six talented guys that can play there. And that's the difference in the team. As I pointed out, and I made this point last night, when Jack and I would go to a practice, we'd look at the first team and we'd say, okay, good. All right. That's workable. All right. Got a lot of guys in there you can win with. Good. But then we'd go to the second team, and then we'd start looking at the second team saying, you know what, let's revisit the first team. He can't get hurt, he can't get hurt, and he can't get hurt. Now, that's not what you want. That's not what you want. Well, now we go out there, and we take a long look at the third team, and we are seeing incredible futures across the board for several players, and that tells you right away, if we're looking at the third team, how we feel about the first and second teams. I thought it was interesting today that Etor Matos is a guy that is that they have openly talked about. And James has mentioned him a couple times in the preseason about not redshirting him. And Tariq Castro Fields and Lamont Way were already two guys, as I pointed out last night with the group. I said, look, they're playing. But Matos is going to be the other guy that looks like, they want to get him in right away. He's got he's very explosive and has great length. His length is a real difference maker for him, Sean. I mean, he's 6'5", 6'6". He's got that wingspan. My goodness. I mean, it just makes a big difference, especially in today's game where people want to do that quick pop pass. They want to do that quick stuff. Bang, bang. Okay, we're done. And all of a sudden you look over and go, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you can stop that just with length sometimes. You know, they're going to throw it quickly. They're not going to get past you. If you put your arms up. Defensively, he's going to really help Penn State. Now, in practice, he helps a lot, too, because, I mean, he'll get his arms up, and, you know, our guys have to go against him. So that makes a big difference. So we're going to talk Steelers today. By the way, congratulations. Jack Ham is one of the 27 inaugural inductees into the Steelers Hall of Honor. They're going to do this on Monday, November 26th, Monday night game against the Green Bay Packers. So, and then they'll induct two more every year. Now, the only one where you sat back and said, really? Was Kevin Green. But you really can't leave Kevin Green off the list if he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, can you? No. So that's that's the issue. You can't do it.
Yeah, granted, they're two different positions, but if you had the choice, if you flip a coin, who do you think would have got in first, Rocky Blyer or Kevin Green? I would have thought Rocky Blyer, but yeah, don't worry, Rocky will get in there soon. He'll be next
right.
year for Rocky.
But I think again, because he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you can't really leave him out.
Oh, there's no debate. No,
I mean, you can't. So, I mean, that's the issue. I mean, other guys are going to get in. Rocky Blyer. You know, funny thing is, Rocky Blyer, when Jack and I played, we played golf? What, 8-9 days ago? Rocky Blyer was speaking at Chartiers, and then he'd just taken off, and they called, and he says, I'll turn around and come back. We were like, no, I'll turn around and come back. Yeah. So, would have been fun. Yeah, he'll get there at some point into the Steelers Hall of Honor. You get two every year, so that's what they'll do. So today the lineup is pretty simple. It's Neil Coulong. We'll talk about the Steelers and some other NFL news in the next half hour. Jack Ham at 4:06, Terry Bowden in the final half hour. John McClain, Houston Chronicle, coming up on Thursday. Looking forward to that. And we might get, I don't know if it's going to be this, it might be this week, we might get both Phil Davis and Ed Ruth this week. We're going to have an event over at the Jordan Center. We might be able to get them on Friday's show. Which I would hope would happen. You know, a lot of people are very interested in any Penn State wrestler and what they've done. Since. And the two of them certainly have made their mark in that sport. Obviously, the flood in Houston has just been, and all through that area of southeast Texas, has just been unprecedented. So whatever, you know, you can do to help, just go help. I mean, you know, I don't care if it's sending money to the Red Cross, whatever they want you to do, they need our help. Now, I saw a story, and I'll be frank with you, this story thoroughly disgusted me when I saw this, that there was some group that was selling water for $99. This is a crisis. How dare you? Okay, you should be in there giving it away. Okay? These people need help, not your gouging. Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable. Some people are like that, as you well know. Some people are like that, as you well know. But back to football. But Thursday night will be the first. And we're really kicking into gear Thursday night. Now, Indiana's going to play Ohio State. You're going to do, I guess, a mega cast of that. Okay. So we're going to do a mega cast on many platforms on ESPN. You have Florida State, Alabama. Now, that is going to be a heck of a game. Florida, Michigan, it's intriguing, but it doesn't give me that. It's a heck of a matchup. But I don't know about you, Sean. I get the Florida, I mean, two big names, neutral site. I'm interested to see what Michigan looks like. I know NJ.com is interesting to see if Michigan has a roster. But...
And also, neither coach will announce who their starting quarterback's going to be.
I know.
I'm like, come on.
I remember years ago. This is back in the 80s. And one of my jobs in the Penn State Sports Network was doing the pregame and the postgame show with Joe. So that was one of them. And it was, I want to say, 88 or 89, and he wasn't sure who the starting... He wasn't going to announce who the starting quarterback was, Joe. And so I'm doing the pregame show, and I said, Joe, you know I have to ask this. I said, who have you chosen to be the starting quarterback? And he looked at me and he said, Steve, I'm not even going to tell you. Right? And I laughed, and I said... And John Sanders was the play-by-play guy at the time. I said, Joe, that's putting a lot of pressure on John Sanders to pick out which number. We all want to know ahead of time. We always do. But dude runs out. Whoever's out there, that's the starting quarterback. I found over time I worry about that stuff less. I don't know about you. But I like, okay, all right, that's who's starting. All right.
Like, yeah, if I was still playing fantasy football and I gave that up over 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the dreaded words, game time decision. That's the last thing you'd want to hear as you're creeping up toward 12 noon when you got to have your lineup turned in.
Now that I understand if you're in a fantasy football league, that I do understand. But as people have asked me over time, he says, how troubling is it, what Jim Harbaugh does with Michigan? I says, I don't care what he does. I said, if he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't want to do it. I said, I'll figure out other ways. I said, it just doesn't bother me. And, if that's what he wants to do, that's what he wants to do. Doesn't want to give it up. Fine, he'll give it up. At some point, they'll put it on a roster. That way, when I look down there, I'm not guessing as to who it is. And you do have to do that. But believe me, I can look at tapes and figure out right away who the, who's what, where, why. If you're so insecure about your team that you've got to make it like it's the Manhattan Project, okay, fine. I got it. At some point, you got to execute and play. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Penn State football is on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Penn State Nittany Lions are Big Ten champions.
Penn State football is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, Register Chevrolet, Turbotville National Bank, and Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Truck. Join us on News Radio 1070 WKOK this Saturday for the Penn State Nittany Lions hosting the Akron Zips. The game kicks off at noon and pregame starts at 10:30. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Give by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Neil Coulon from USA Today on the Steelers in the next half hour. Jack Ham will be at 4:06 today. And in the final half hour, Akron head coach Terry Bowden will be on the show. No show tomorrow with the Phillies coming up tomorrow afternoon, but then we return on Thursday with John McClain from the Houston Chronicle. We'll talk about what's been happening down there, get his perspective, and obviously his perspective on the NFL. Is a longtime NFL writer, follower, and also one of the Hall of Fame voters. So that is coming up a little bit later today. Everything happening in Houston obviously is dominating and should be dominating the landscape. It is something that is unbelievable. You know, we watched this happen with Katrina, Rita to a point, Andrew in 92, but to see the flooding and the devastation. What's interesting about this is that in 1972, there was a hurricane that then was downgraded to a tropical storm named Agnes that hit northeastern Pennsylvania, and it did what Harvey's doing. It didn't move. And it rained for days, and the Susquehanna River overwent its banks, flooded not only farmland, but then there was also in Kingston and in Wilkes-Barre, they were just flooded beyond words. Flooded beyond words. I started going to school at Penn State Wilkes-Barre in 1976, 4 years later. Now, I did fly over it. I remember my uncle had a plane, and we flew over and saw the floods. I was 14 at the time. In 1976, I started going to school at Penn State Wilkes-Barre. And I was there for 2 years. And Penn State Wilkes-Barre is in Lehman, but it's in the Back Mountain area. All they could talk about for 2 years was Agnes. And I was reading an article about Katrina 2 days ago because of what's happening with Harvey in Houston. They were discussing that the people, there were certain people in New Orleans and in Louisiana that suffer from PTSD because of the effects of Katrina, how bad it was. And I started thinking back to all those people I talked with when I first started going to college up in the Back Mountain area near Wilkes-Barre, and all they could talk about for 2 years to me over and over again was Agnes. And, you know, I thought to myself, I know what they mean now by a disaster PTSD. Unbelievable. Whatever you can do to help, help. And I know you will. You always have one person that tries to sell water for $99, which is happening. Well, there are a million people that are actually trying to help and sacrificing themselves to help others. Next half hour, Neil Coulon on the Steelers. Jack Ham, 4:06. Terry Bowden, final half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. This half hour, Neil Coulon from USA Today on the Steelers and some general NFL notes. Next half hour, Jack Ham joins us to break down Penn State football. And then in the final half hour, Akron head coach Terry Bowden is going to join us on the show today. This day in sports history, 1885, the first prize fight under the Marquess of Queensbury rules was held in Cincinnati, Ohio. John L. Sullivan defeated Dominic McCaffrey in six rounds. 1892, Pop Shriver of the Chicago Cubs caught a ball that was dropped from the top of the Washington Monument in D.C. 1971, Hank Aaron became the first baseball player in the National League to hit 100, to score 100 or more runs in each of 11 seasons. 1977, Lou Brock brought his total stolen bases to 893, surpassing the record of Ty Cobb that held for 49 years. 1986, Don Baylor hit by a pitch and set a record for the most bruises ever in hitting, as he set the record for being hit by the pitch more often than anyone else in the history of the game. 1994, Mario Lemieux announced he would be taking a leave of absence due to fatigue, the after effects from the 1993 radiation treatments he had. He would sit out the NHL games in 94-95. Amazing things, he came back and he was still remarkable. And that is this day in sports history. All right. Time now to turn our attention to Neil Coulong, USA Today. Neil, welcome. It is great to have you with us.
That's great to be here as always. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's start. I'll get to Vance McDonald in a moment, but the inaugural Steeler Hall of Honor, and there are no surprises as to who's on it, but I think it's a great step by them to do something like this with 27 individuals on there.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. My knee-jerk reaction to it, seeing Kevin Green on there, I was a little dubious as far as kind of the lifetime contribution mantra that it had. But at the same time, it's like you're going to put in every other Hall of Famer except for him.
Right.
The only guy that ever wore a uniform. You kind of have to.
You know what? That's funny. My first reaction was Kevin Green, because I'll be honest with you, I was not a big guy on Kevin Green going into the Hall of Fame to start with, but he's there, and I don't think you can, once you do that, you cannot keep him off your Hall of Honor.
Yeah, really, it sets off a chain reaction to everything else, doesn't it? Especially when you're kind of reverse engineering the process the way the Steelers have. They're probably one of, if not the last team to create something like this. And I definitely think that it's great that they do it. I also enjoy the fact that, and I've seen some people kind of complain about this, they chose 27 people. So it's the opposite of the Hall of Fame in the sense that they're not going to just have seven slots and have everyone compete for that every single year.
Right.
Because that's kind of how you end up having a Kevin Green in the Hall of Fame, ironically. eventually, he's been going for it for long enough. His numbers stand up over history long enough that you're kind of like, oh, yeah, throw him in there, I guess. With this, it's kind of like, we're going to make our inaugural class, and these are the people that should be in there. And, you know, from that perspective, it's like, yeah, I can't really argue with that. I like the fact that they kind of just went up to really the 90s into that class, and they kind of leave this generation open for debate for the future. I like what that's going to bring, and I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, they're going to do, two per year after this. So that's what they're going to do, two per year after this. This is one of those 27 we're making up for lost time.
Yep, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
You get that main class out of the way, and from here it's really, you should have a good mix between the older teams and the newer teams. However long it is, I haven't seen it if they've announced there's a length of time in which you have to be eligible, but it'll be really interesting to see what, you know, the next two that they do, you know, the first four guys that are going to get in from this committee outside of the main group. I mean, a lot of different angles you can go with that.
Vance McDonald, they acquired him from the 49ers as another tight end. Your thoughts on the deal?
They gave up assets to pay Ladarius Green a little more money. That's kind of my thought.
Yeah.
It's interesting because obviously they really want that position. They don't feel that they've found that yet. That position really is kind of your ultra-athletic tight end. He's a physical guy. He's a competitive guy. You like what he does with the ball in the air. And I think that's something we haven't really seen from the Steelers tight ends much of over the last two seasons. A strong, reliable target within the red zone. And I don't just mean jump balls into the end zone. I mean stuff around the five-yard line, a leading throw that he can, you know, go out, pluck out of the air and wrestle his way into the end zone. That's really the Steelers' offense. They're not a goal line type of team. They score from 15 yards out. They can do that. He'll add that dimension. His price is kind of high from a contract perspective. I think he was on, last year, signed a 5-year, $30 million deal from a general manager who was fired 3 weeks later. Mm-hmm. Combine that with what seems to be a general amount of celebration from 49ers fans for getting out of his contract. This is a team that's also like $90 million under the cap. I don't know why fans take it that personally, but clearly they haven't been real impressed with what McDonald has done since being a second-round draft pick back in 2013. We'll see. You know, it's an interesting move. It's one I didn't expect them to make. I had a better assessment of more positive assessment of the Steelers tight ends to this point than Coach Tomlin did. I certainly defer to his expert opinion, but they didn't trade a whole lot either. They just really took on some salary. They moved down probably 20 spots, and it could be even less from the fourth round into the fifth. So it might not really be anything other than, you know, a very light swap of draft picks for a player with a lot of athletic potential.
Anything Jesse James should read into?
I would say no, just because I think James is, and they'd have a tough time suggesting that McDonald really is a legitimate three-down tight end, and a real pure inline tight end. I don't think he's that at all. James, though, is. I think the traditional kind of, you know, strong side edge blocker, I think he's done pretty well with that, and he'll continue to develop in his career. This, I think, just gives them a little bit more, you know, position versatility. If they come out in, you know, a 12-personnel package, you put two tight ends out there with the ability to flex one of them out to the slot or keep him in line and have Le'Veon Bell flex to the slot. You know, weapons like that, it really gives them, you know, multi-dimensions. And I think that's the role that they really wanted from Ladarius Green. And to his credit, before he was hurt, he was doing well with that. I think he had something like 16 yards a catch. Very limited duty last season, but he was an effective player. I think they're looking for McDonald to be kind of the same type of guy.
All right. Where are the Steelers, in your opinion? Where do you think they're better? And conversely, where do you think they're still a concern?
I hate to say this because I've been championing the secondary for a while, but after three preseason games, you definitely can't say you're overly confident with either the talent that's at the position right now or the notion that they're going to play a lot more press man coverage. We saw a lot of guys that didn't play very well in press man coverage during the preseason. So to suggest that they're just going to, you know, roll that out in week one and everything's going to be fine, I think is a bit far-fetched. But to be fair, we did not see Mike Mitchell out there. Obviously, the quarterback of your secondary, the free safety is the guy that's running the communication. A lot of what appeared to be miscommunication situations for them, especially on the bigger plays when they screwed up. I think Ross Cockrell took a big step back. I expected a lot more from him. I thought he would do fairly well in man. Didn't really look like he was up to that. And when you're at a point when the narrative shifted from Cody Sensabaugh taking Cockrell's starting job to a rookie who barely practiced at all during training camp and Cam Sutton taking his job, you've got a problem at the position. You're not even sure which of three options, two of which weren't even on your team last year, is going to start opposite Artie Burns, who I was actually impressed with him. Their safety depth is lacking. That's going to be a real concern. I wouldn't be surprised if they make a move among the waiver cuts that are coming up to see if they can't pick up somebody else to give them a little bit more stability back there. That all said, I considering Le'Veon Bell wasn't there, I was impressed with the way both James Conner and Nile Davis ran the ball. I thought both of them looked pretty good. It might be the end of Fitzgerald Toussaint, who also did pretty well. I thought they ran the ball pretty effectively in three, you know, obviously sub-package preseason games with a player that something will have gone horribly wrong under center if he has to start at any point this season. So that said, you know, on top of all of that, really is kind of the foundation of the team, and that's the offensive line. The Steelers' offensive line looks even better than it did.
Yeah.
Clearly, in my mind, the unit that did the best this preseason. They're, you know, if it were me, I'm not starting any of them. Thursday against Carolina, I'm putting them all in bubble wrap, just tell them to sit at home, just wait. You know, we'll unleash you again on Cleveland. I think they're going to be a dominant force this year.
Yeah. Outside of the Steelers, obviously, Julian Edelman got hurt. So, we know they have to go week by week. I've got that. But if they can put themselves in a position where if they can somehow get the Patriots at Heinz Field, if things go well for both teams and they both can get there, how much of a difference do you think that makes in the end? Because it's been one repeated trip after another after Foxborough, where now when you go to your Google map, Neil, I mean, it just automatically comes up for you.
It's definitely true. January playoff football. You've got Steelers at Patriots. I don't know. The reason I say that is, one, I don't think Edelman is a high-level player. I think Edelman is a very effective player within that particular offense simply because what he does. And it's kind of the position the Patriots have created, kind of adding a dimension to that slot receiver.
Yeah, he was a next-generation Wes Welker guy. I mean, that's
Exactly. He's probably a more athletic but smaller Welker. He's competitive. He's tough. You get him the ball, he's going to fight for every single yard. He's not going to be the best athlete in any field that he steps on. He's a decent athlete. He's not a great one. So hands like, he's replaceable. But here's the concern that I have, and Bill Belichick has shown this so many times over the years. He knows how to turn a weakness into a strength, and he does that simply by doing what the opposite of what you think he's going to do. He's going to find somebody to fill some type of role that you're not expecting. So it's not like they are replacing Edelman. They're changing what they do to get away from that, because everything they do is specialized. It's up to the player. You know what?
You know who I think that guy is? It's Chris Hogan.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, who's Chris Hogan? Nobody knew who he was this time last year.
Excuse me, he is Penn State lacrosse's own, my man.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking Penn for some reason, to be honest with you. You know, he's an effective player for what they do, simply because it's like, what is he going to do? You know, what could he do? But they're going to find a situation where, like they did in the AFC Championship game, where they go from a double tight end heavy set suddenly into five wide, in which they've got James Harrison covering Chris Hogan.
Yeah.
So it's not about Chris Hogan. It's about the fact that somebody 75 pounds lighter and considerably quicker is in an extremely advantageous situation. All he's got to do is run.
Yeah.
He did. Harrison didn't even try to jam him. If I was Harrison, I just would have trucked the guy off the line. There's no way I'm going to run this guy down the field. And he's not running a screen here, you know. They're going to send him deep. So Belichick is going to find somebody that can do that, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's off the waiver wire. You know, the one team I'm looking at the waiver wire when it comes to receivers?
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
So to be honest with you, I'm looking at DeMarcus Ayers, and I'm thinking, boy, is he going to end up in New England? Is he going to be that guy now?
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me. It really wouldn't.
Yeah. You know what? And looking at waiver wire when it comes to that, there are going to be a few guys, you know, because this cutdown is all at once. So this is new territory here. How interesting is it going to be to see one massive cutdown and then the moves that are made by various teams once the cutdown happens?
You know, this is how big of a football dork I am. I'm like analyzing the strategy behind this, because it's like, if I'm Mike Tomlin, what I'm thinking is, I know I'm going to cut these guys. I'd rather just kind of clear this off my plate now and see if other teams react to it, because I'm going to be sitting and waiting when they wait till the last minute to cut absolutely everybody they have. I'm in position now to scout who's going to need what. I know what, you know, I have something of a sense of who's going to jump on who. Looking at that, you know, from a kind of a weaponized standpoint, that could be effective. You know, you have to cut guys every year, and there are always names that get cut.
Right.
It's a question of timing. You know, if you already cut these guys already, you're presenting that you don't really have a need for this particular position. You know, other teams are going to do the same if they cut early. Otherwise, a team is going to sit back and wait and just do it all at once. They know exactly what they want and what they need. They may not look to you know, grab anybody off waivers at all. But if you're looking to grab somebody, which I think the Steelers probably will, considering their lack of depth in the secondary, it might not be a bad idea for them to kind of show that hand right away and see if you can't, you know, jump ahead for a conditional draft pick trade, very much like they did today, for a player that they feel that they need. If they're not going to give up a whole lot, they can get ahead of everybody else just by kind of identifying that these are the things that they're looking for.
One final question. What are the Buffalo Bills doing?
They are looking to break the Cleveland Browns' modern-day record of draft picks owned, to be my guess. I'll say, if anything, Sean McDermott and Rex Ryan would not have worked well together. I think that's really the message that we're getting. He's cut all of the guys Ryan's drafted, as if he's trying to tell Ryan, I hate you. I hate you for doing this to me, so I'm just going to have a yard sale from your team. Your legacy is going to be completely gone. And in a lot of cases, too, none of these guys are, you know, they're names, but they didn't ever really develop. I mean, Ragland's been hurt pretty much since he got drafted.
Yeah.
He hasn't really gotten on the field. We're still running pictures of him playing in Alabama from 2 years ago. We don't have current pictures of him.
Right, that's true.
Any.
Right.
They don't take pictures of you in the weight room. Guys like E.J. Manuel, you know, let's be honest, that didn't work out.
Yeah.
He certainly had his opportunity. The Darby trade I thought was kind of interesting, but I see why they did it. They're looking to get rid of Watkins. They can pick up a serviceable player like Jordan Matthews. I don't think he's any worse from what we've seen right now from Watkins,
right.
And he's under contract. Watkins wasn't going to be. They can get a player that they might need in their offense in a draft pick along with it. That trade to me kind of makes sense. I think that's why they brought him into the season anyway, kind of get a look at him in camp and from there see if he's going to be a value to you long term. But clearly the new administration has been given some room here to look to, you know, build the team their way. And to do that, you've got to get rid of some, kind of the dead weight that's around you. And I think that's kind of, that epitomizes the Bills right now.
Well, in your day, I was your dead weight, so I will move on. Neil, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulong, USA Today. Great to have him on the show. Coming up, my broadcast partner, Jack Ham. We will break down Penn State football. We'll go position by position on this team. Get Jack's take on what he thinks Penn State and where they are at each spot on the field. We'll do that in the next half hour. Terry Bowden, the Akron head coach, in the final half hours. We continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Sunbury Motors Kia had their best July in 5 years.
Thanks to the drastic discounts on all new Kias.
Guess what? SMC is doing it again in August.
Wanna see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Those drastic discounts are extended into August at SMC. And there are 76 new Kias to choose from. 2017 Kia Fortes start at $15,997. 2017 Kia Souls as low as $16,698. The 2017 Hybrid ZUV, the Kia Niro, starting at $22,879. Plus, Sunbury Motors Kia has accepted a special shipment of 5 2017 Serenos that are priced at just $24,989. And SMC has financing as low as 0% for up to 66 months. And all include Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors Kia, on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf, and at sunburymotorskia.com.
Tax and tax extra. Offer expires 8/31/17. Restrictions apply. Warranty is limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer, go to kia.com.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Next half hour, Jack Ham. We'll break down Penn State position by position based on what we watched during the course of the preseason. We'll do that in the next half hour. Final half hour, Akron head coach Terry Bowden will join us. Meanwhile, the Florida-Michigan game continues to get less and less intriguing with each passing day. Today, an eighth Florida player was suspended by Jim McElwain. Wide receiver James Robinson was cited for marijuana possession last week. He will not play against Michigan. Robinson and linebacker Ventrell Miller, both freshmen from Lakeland, were cited for possession of less than 20 grams of marijuana August 21st, according to the university. Police, Robinson and Miller were found with the drugs at their dormitory after the smell of marijuana emanated from their room. Both were given a notice to appear in court next month. Miller is one of seven players under indefinite suspension for misusing university funds already. Robinson was cited for misdemeanor marijuana possession during his official visit to Ohio State in January. So eight Florida players are out. I don't know what to tell you about what this means about Florida and Michigan coming up Saturday in Arlington. But the game is becoming less intriguing by the minute, other than who will Michigan play, who will their starting quarterback be, and what's their lineup going to look like. Florida, I'm sure, will be fine in some areas, but the game has become less intriguing. If Florida were to win the game, they could look around and say, well, we did it without eight players. And if Michigan were to win the game, there'd be everybody looking over and saying, wow, okay, you beat Florida without eight players. Now, Florida State, Alabama, different animal. Different animal. But an eighth Florida player has been suspended. Well, you got 85 of these guys. 78 are still eligible to play. Hey, congrats to the Oregon equipment staff. They were able to send a bunch of stuff down to the University of Houston to help them out. So Congrats to Oregon for doing that. They're distributing whatever apparel is needed down in the Houston area.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies, News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.